We all have a great feeling toward our pets. We think they're wonderful. But do we really? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with our thought for today. We all have pets and we think they're wonderful. We love them very much. But do we really love them? Do we ever stop to learn what is best for an animal? Now, an animal should have a rabbit, say, so to speak, once every week, you know, and eat it however it wishes, you know. Or an animal should have corned beef and cabbage, or should have rice and fish and so forth, you know, whatever the veterinarian tells you that they should have. Why is it that the Eskimo dogs have fewer physical problems than the dogs that are anywhere else? That the dogs, especially in the civilized world, that is in the in a home, so to speak, and the Eskimo dogs are out, you know, running, pulling sleds and doing all sorts of other good things. But the dogs that people have in their homes, it's different. Now, what makes the difference? Well, the Eskimo knows that the dog is supposed to be raised to do a work. And for the dog to do its best work, it has to be in a good physical condition. So the Eskimo feeds the dog what it has learned is the best food for the dog. Now, you might laugh at what the best food for the dog is, but the best food for the dog is blubber. The same stuff that the Eskimo eats a great deal of. Now, you go down to India, and you say, what is the right food? And they say rice. And many other countries, they say rice. And you go to Ireland, and what do they say is the best food? Potatoes. And these are all empty foods. All purely empty foods. They don't mean a thing. People are accustomed to eating them, and they think that they give them the vitamins and the minerals and all these things that they need. What is it that makes an Eskimo dog so healthy? Well, as we are all designed to be active beings, mentally or physically, we're designed to be active beings. The Eskimo dog is a very active dog. They are out always running and jumping and playing and doing great things. Now, what do you think the polar bear eats? Does he get his rice and does he get his veggies? Does he get his fruits? Does he get all these things that he should have? No. And what does the polar bear do? He lives in an ice country. Ice, I-C-E country. And in that cold country, he has his tongue that he puts out in this sub-zero weather, and it doesn't freeze. He puts out his nostrils, you know, and breathes through his nose, and it doesn't freeze. And he's walking on this terribly cold ice and snow, and it doesn't freeze. And then he jumps into the ocean and grabs a hold of a seal or a fish or whatever he can get, and he doesn't freeze when he comes out. He just shakes, and all the lovely warm undercoating on his beautiful overcoat is all nice and cozy for him. But why does he survive? Well, I venture to say that the reason animals and people survive in places that are not comfortable for them is that they will they don't know that it's everything is comfortable for them. They don't know that they have everything. They don't know that they could have ice cream and they could have hamburgers and they could have other types of foods. They don't know it. And I think perhaps the biggest reason that animals in primitive cultures are having this sort of an experience is that these animals in a primitive culture are doing what? They are not disturbed by anything called a veterinarian, a medical doctor, or something of the sort. So here they are, living in Alaska, for instance, eating this very poor diet. And who is their doctor? Maybe the chief of the tribe, or maybe the father of the village, or something like that. And what is this father telling him? He says, I was raised on blubber. You were raised on blubber, too, you know. And you're going to be perfectly healthy and happy and hearty. And basically he is. And they have stronger teeth. They have better guts. They have better intestines. They have better, liver, bile, heart, everything about them. But a blower? Yes. Because they don't know that they should have something different. Now, I will carry that just a little direction further. The doctor, you go to the doctor and you say, "Doctor, what can I do for my problem?" And he says, "Well, you do this." But really, you don't have much chance. Because the way you're going, you'll be dead in a couple of weeks. And so you say, "Well, gee, that's not very nice." And the doctor says, "That's just a fact. You keep living the way you're living, and you'll be dead." And then he goes to another doctor for a second opinion, or a third. And maybe one of the others tell him that he'll be dead too, but the other one says, "Hey, nobody can predict what you're going to do. You could take one instant and say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love." And the minute you start saying this food is healthy for my body and filled with love, so it is. And it can be the most unlikely food in the world, like blubber. Blubber is, according to a medical doctor, is an unacceptable food. It has everything that it shouldn't have for food. And you look at the people who eat rice as a steady diet, and a majority of their diet, that's totally empty food. And yet, they're living very healthy and very happy. And look at the civilized world, if you will, who are not, I call uncivilized, when they don't have enough money to buy anything but the food that they get, like rice. The civilized, we call, they can have everything. They can have ice cream and beer and cake and pies and all that other good stuff. And what do they eat? They still eat rice. They still eat a staple of rice. Now, you look at the Irish. The Irish people existed quite well in Ireland, eating whatever the soil gave up to them. And then potatoes came into their life. And so they grew potatoes in abundance. And they lived on potatoes for a number of years, maybe over 100 years. Potatoes were the staple of their diet. And then the potato blight came along, and no more potatoes. Their staple is gone. What must they do? Die. What a terrible thing. But they were so dependent on that, that they could not transfer their thought to anything else, and their doctors didn't do them any good either, because the doctors were going through the same problem they were going through. What could they have done, besides saying this food is healthy for my body and filled with love? What could they have done? They could have just enjoyed the food they had. No. Do you think all the Eskimo children love the diet they have? Do you think that? Not really. They would like to have everything else. They'd like ice cream and candy and cake and other good things. They would like these things, but they don't get them. They don't get them. And they don't know that they aren't getting them. And you know why they're not knowing that they're not getting them? They don't have television and radio. They don't have newspapers and magazines trying to entice them to do these things. Isn't it interesting how parents want to give their children candy? They want to give them this sweet stuff, which does nothing for the kid. It's a tasty thing for a moment, but then it's over. But then they say, "Oh, the kids love candy. The kids love candy. And of course, the kids are going to love candy because that's what's being fed into them. Well, dogs are fat when their owners are fat. Dogs are slim when their owners are slim. And this is just a simple fact of life. If you look at the dogs, what do they say about a dog? After a while, the owner looks
like the dog.
Just like the dog, or the dog looks just like the owner. But the owner looks just like the dog after a while. Now, why could that be? How could that be? Well, that is because of one simple thing. The owner treats the dog like he treats himself. The owner treats the dog to attitudes, ideas, desires, and wants, and the owner is always giving the dog little tidbits of what they're eating, of what they're doing, and how they're thinking. If the owner drinks beer, they teach their dog to drink beer.
Yes. No? Young, what are you saying?
I would not agree on that one.
If the owner drinks beer, he teaches his dog to drink beer. Have you not seen an owner put a beer on the plate for the dog?
Never.
That's interesting. An owner does that, and it's very interesting, too. Now, what else does an owner do? If an owner is having a steak, he wants to give his dog a little. If the owner is having other things, now the dog doesn't care about the broccoli and the cauliflower and the carrots and perhaps even the potatoes, unless the potatoes are heavily, run with gravy and buttered, yeah. Then the dog will like it. But the dog doesn't want these other things that it's not valuable to itself. A dog is basically built to have one diet, every animal he can get, you know. And so he eats it. And that's all that he has. And he doesn't want the potatoes. He doesn't want the vegetables. He's not interested in that at all. Of course, some animals do eat those things, you know, like humans. But we should probably stop and think about how we handle our dogs, how we handle our pets, and how we handle ourselves. If I said to you, if you will follow this particular diet I'm going to give you, and in, say, 2 months, you will be ready for a particular beauty pageant, and you'll win it, because this will do it for you. Now, if you believed in me, and you said, hey, good, I'll do it, could you do it? No, we couldn't.
Why not?
You couldn't do it because looking to the future for the beauty pageant is not enough. How you could do it only if you look to the present. You say, I choose to do this. This is wonderful. And you do it today. Mm-hmm. Then tomorrow you say, I choose to do it. And this is wonderful. And you do it. The next day you say, I choose to. You don't say, I'm going to do it because I want to be wonderful, you know, 2 months from now. Because you cannot live for 2 months. Some people, they really push themselves, okay? They really push themselves to accomplish goals within a given period of time. But most of the time, no. Most of the time, no. Why is it that people who go on a diet and take off a reasonable amount of weight have that weight back within a very short time? Well, they know that the weight's off. Isn't that wonderful, the weight's off? Now keep it off. But you can't do it because that's not your nature. Your nature is to just go and eat. So now you have to change your nature a little bit, don't you? Mm-hmm. And your nature is not to look good. It is, because if it weren't, you would look good. Your nature is not to be fat. You know?
That's my nature.
And if your nature is not to be fat, you could not be forced to take anything into your system that would discourage it. Now, I say to Ellen here, right now, I say, Ellen, you would like to be Miss Wonderful in your figure. She says, well, I am already. I said, all right. You'd like to stay Miss Wonderful in your figure. But if you ever eat ice cream again, you will add 3 pounds to your weight for each little dish of ice cream you eat.
Well, that's not fair.
See, it's what I'm telling you. You say it's not fair. The thing is, that's the way it works. That's the way it works. You eat this ice cream and you're going to gain the pounds. Now, why is that so? Is it because you're eating the ice cream and you're gaining the pounds? Or is it because, your mental thought. Is it because your doctor told you that so and you believe him? Or is it because you just know that for yourself? You know it for yourself.
Right.
Now, why don't you want to stay the slim person you think you'd like to be? You don't stay the slim person you think you'd like to be because you don't really think you'd like to be the slim person you thought you'd like to be. That's just an illusion. We were reading about, what you were telling us about, this man who was in a concentration camp during the war, and it was rough on him. And this fellow in the concentration camp had many deprivations that were caused upon him, food, water, everything else he felt that was important. And so when he got out, his entire life was dedicated to fulfilling himself with all the things that he was deprived of. If he could have instead said to himself, I am blessed by being deprived of these things, because now I no longer want them. Now they no longer demand me. Now they no longer control me. If he could have taken that track, how wonderful it would be. And wouldn't it be something? He lived through those war years in a prisoner of war camp, and now he's out. Now he has the choice to make of whatever he wants to do. But he chose to make the thing, I am going to get all the good I can get out of life because I missed it. Mm. And this is how you are. This is how we are. And when I was a little girl, I couldn't have ice cream only on Saturday. Now I'm going to have it every night of the week, you know. And when I was a little girl, my mother made me do this. Well, I'm not going to make myself do that. When I was a little girl, my mother made me do this and this and this and this and this. I'm not going to make my children do that. You see? And in the process, what happens? We have a disrespectful, erratic, unhappy life because we don't know how to set our values. Now, our parents didn't know how to set their values any more than we know how to set our values. But they did their best. Now, are we doing our best? Are we setting our values according to what we think they should be? If we are, then that's great. If they aren't, then it's time for us to make a little amendment. Make a little change to set our life the way we think it should be. But it cannot be that way unless we take charge. So I say to you this day in this wonderful thought for today, don't be too concerned about how you're going to train a dog. How are you going to live with a wonderful pet in your family? That's ever so true. But the question is, how can I be all that I am able to be? And the answer is, I speak my word, I now am all that I am able to be. I now am all that I am able to be. When you speak that, you're putting the cause in motion, and you don't have to know how. You don't have to know what it is that you're supposed to be. You don't have to know anything. You have spoken your word, and so it is. You know, this is a negative of the positive, but mother comes in and says, I know what you've been doing. I know what you've been doing, and I don't think that's very nice. So I want you to change your attitude and change your pattern of thinking. Well, what the kid had done. He had been unkind to his sister. He's picking on his sister, and he's hitting her and throwing things at her and being very unkind. But the little boy says to his mother, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry I broke that vase. I'm sorry that I took the cake out of the refrigerator and ate half of it. I'm sorry that he confesses all the things that he did and doesn't even get around to the one the mother is talking about. And the mother listens. And she has it. But this is what we do. This is what we do. We know what really is wrong with our balance in life, and we know how to correct it, but we try to hide it. And the moment we hide it, we open the door so everyone can see it. You cannot hide anything, because if you try to hide it, it's written all over you. If you don't try to hide it, it's not important to you. It's not in your thought, and you don't have any bad experiences by it. So, shall we feed our dogs food that is not beneficial to them? Not just them. You are incapable of feeding your dog food that's not beneficial to them because you believe you're doing the right thing. You know? And if you believe you're doing the right thing, you're not going to admit to things that you're not being challenged about. You follow that? It's so easy for Mom to come in and say, now, I know what you've been doing, you know. But Mom, I didn't mean to hit her. What did you do? Yeah, because it's right up front in our thinking. So we want to have right up front in our thinking that all is in divine order. I set the cause today for my joy today. And then our joy is with us today. It's not tomorrow, another day, or anything else. It's now. And this is the joy that I would share with each one of you, that each one of you is living in the now, enjoying everything that's beautiful right now, and that the pets might have been a step into the story, but the step out of the story is that you are the only one that matters. And I love you very much. Have a wonderful day, wonderful life, and everything else.